KBOO is currently running a Kickstarter campaign to build a city of media makers. From February 8th to March 9th, you can become a media maker and help spread the word. Just go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter between now and March 9th to join.
Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO is building a city of media makers. We believe that strong, resilient communities know how to make their own media. For 50 years, KBOO has trained thousands of people how to make radio. We know that, with our expertise and your support, we can keep this city activated and aware through radio we make together. Invest in future media makers and join us on Kickstarter today. Look us up. Search for Help KBOO Build a City of Media Makers. And thank you for your support of KBOO.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 10 o'clock. Stay tuned at 10:15 for Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, we've got the Dirt Bag. Today, Glenn Andreessen answers your garden questions. The phones are up and running, and everything's working great here. So call in with those garden questions, and he'll offer updates about his project to breed apricots west of the Cascades. All that's coming up later on KBOO, but for now, we're going to go to Air Cascadia in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KBOO. Thanks.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, February 14th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland Community Sanctuary Solidarity at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm, and at Kickstarter, too. You can support independent community radio right here, right now, by going to the KBOO website, kboo.fm. They've got buttons, we've got buttons. They've got big buttons, our buttons are bigger, so go ahead, push it. Now is the moment. Thought for the day, are those real? And of course, I'm talking about the numbers in Trump's budget. What else would I be talking about? And a message to those policy makers, Ryan Zinkes and so forth, who sit in offices, and they've got buttons too, and there's ravaged the landscape and change of what this nation looks like in ways that are irrevocable. And that's something that we should bear in mind, because we're going to be speaking with Jody McCaffrey this morning, who is very busy, as one might imagine any person who's courageous enough to stand up and defend our coastal waters. Yes, of course, she's a busy woman right now. We all should be busy, really. Think about it. Weather for today, well, rain, of course, and high around 51, which I don't believe, I think it'll be in the 40s, and a little bit of wind building up for tonight. Again, National Weather Service has got rain for us, but I don't know, I got snow, I don't know about you. Lows tonight around 38, tomorrow a slight chance of showers with a high around 52. Ha! And for tomorrow night, again, overcast skies, lows around 40. We've seen, however, that it's been a good bit colder in some places, and that the prophesied rain, of course, is making its appearance as snow. There are a great many things to talk about. Monday, of course, protesters, the Southern Oregon Rising Tide kicked up some dust and splashed lawmakers at the lands board meeting and demanded that Governor Brown oppose the Jordan Cove LNG project. That is big news. That didn't get a whole lot of coverage, I hope you noticed. It's become a matter of noticing stories that don't get covered by mainstream media. That's a whole hell of a lot more difficult than noticing the ones that do get covered. And that's exactly why this is what we should be talking about. Good morning, Jody. Thanks so much for being with us again. Hello.
Yes, finally.
Hi, yes, we're here. So, yeah, Monday, the Southern Oregon Rising Tide people made a little stir. And across the state, that's exactly what we should be doing. It's so difficult. Water out there, you stand on the beach and you look at it, it seems to go on forever, and there's no, you don't question it. It's hard to question water. There's so much of it. But Jordan Cove, can you give us a brief update? We haven't spoken for a while, and things are getting pretty tight over there. It's getting a little bit down to the wire, but with Zinke apparently having the ability to make changes to our law. So what is going on?
Well, that is definitely a problem. We've had that even in Coos County, where this project has not fit the rules. But what Jordan Cove does is they have their people come in and change the rules, and we've had it's been such a long process, and we're still in challenges. Actually, there's a bunch of applications that Jordan Cove has filed with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. There's also the Clean Air and Clean Water application permits, and that processes. Those have yet to be done for the third time. They're in the works, but you know, there will be opportunities for the public to participate, and stay tuned, and we'll let you know. Right now, we're still in legal proceedings on the old design terminal for the Jordan Cove land use application. It was appealed. We went through a process at the Land Use Board of Appeals, and we actually won on most of our issues. There were a couple issues we didn't win on, and we appealed those to the Court of Appeals, and there's a hearing tomorrow that will be doing that process. So behind the scenes, there's been a lot of stuff going on that most people don't know about.
Well, yes, what were you just saying? Could you kind of break down a little bit more what's happening tomorrow and how we arrived at that? Why there is a need for that hearing?
Well, it was a quite phenomenal. I really think there's a lot of groups and people that have stepped up. And at the Land Use Board of Appeals hearing that we had previously, they came out with their decision. The tribes were involved in that, part of that, Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition and several other groups, Rogue Climate, and myself personally. I typed a brief on that personally. Some of my issues that I didn't win on and that the Rogue Climate group didn't win on, we appealed those to Court of Appeals, which basically my issue has to do with bias, because I'll in a nutshell, the hearing, one of the commissioners wrote a letter on county stationery to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission asking FERC to approve the project at the same time they were making a decision on a land use application for the same project. And I felt that they should have recused, that shouldn't have happened, and it shows a bias on the part of the commissioner. And we didn't win on that issue, but we're going to re-argue it at the Court of Appeals tomorrow. That's only one part. There's some other things that we're going to be arguing too. So, you're entitled to a fair process. It's not been totally fair because Jordan Cove has so much money that they've been able to come in, you know, and change rules and stuff. And you know, if you have the money, you can apply and do that. And we have to go through processes. And it's just, you know, kind of a one-sided process. If what we really need is to get the money out of politics so that it's really the people being represented, not the money. But I will say this, and you might not know this, or you might have already discussed this. In January, the Oregon Change International actually did a full report accounting of the greenhouse gas emissions that would result from the proposed Jordan Cove LNG export terminal, and they found that the project would result in over 36.8 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent per year.
Wow. Say that again. Those are some fantastic numbers.
Yeah. This project, they did a full accounting of Jordan Cove's greenhouse gas emissions, and it would result in over 36.8 million metric tons of carbon dioxide. That's some 15.4 times the emissions from Oregon's last remaining coal-fired power plant at Boardman, which is set to actually retire in 2020, basically due to climate and air pollution concerns. And here, Jordan Cove, they're 15.4 times the emissions.
Yeah, it's about 37 million tons. And just recently, just this week, I believe, Big Brown, this huge coal-fired power plant in Texas, was shut down by, it's the biggest one in the whole country. It's in Texas, right? And it was polluting. Pollution from Big Brown has shown up in states like Michigan and Illinois. That's astonishing. They shut it down for good. And the fact that they're contemplating yet another pollution spouting project, just as Big Brown shuts down, that is, to me, is astonishing. And I wonder about Ryan Zinke's power in all of this. The Secretary of the Interior, he seems to have the power to cut through all of these different agencies, LUBA and all the rest, and just rubber stamp this and give it the go-ahead. And this would be a sort of a decision for which we have no recourse. This is what concerns me.
Well, I think we all have concerns.
Is that possible? Does he have that kind of power?
Well, the way our system's set up, there's supposed to be a check and balance system, but it kind of, yeah, it's not always the way it is.
Yeah, that's what we've seen. But what I mean is, like, is Zinke, is he able to pull off something like that? Because I think that's what lots of people are concerned about. He's tried. He tried with regard to Puerto Rico. He tried to have this whitefish company, which consisted of two guys in a pickup truck. And they got this massive multi-million-dollar contract to rebuild the Puerto Rican, the power lines, their power grid, until somebody in D.C. said, hey, hang on just a minute there. You live next door to Ryan Zinke in a place called Whitefish, Montana. You have suddenly appeared out of the wild blue, and you were handed a contract to rebuild the country's power grid. So that got shot down. But my concern is Jordan Cove and Zinke, and the damage that he is capable of doing. Can you assess that at this point?
I will say this. The laws are still on the books. They haven't got rid of our Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, and the National Environmental Policy Act. Those are still there, and they have good protections in them, and we have to fight to make sure that those are fully applied. And if that's the case, I don't see them being able to win over those if they're applied properly.
Yeah. We're about out of time. Joan, I want to thank you again so much for joining us today. Short notice, many, many things going on. Just a brief review of what's happening tomorrow, and then we'll let you go.
Yes, that'll just be, this is just a legal proceeding. It's not something where people show up. This is where a lawyer will argue, you know, before the Court of Appeals. Yeah. It's not like we're asking people to be there. But there is stuff like that going on. People need to, even though it's quiet, it's really not quiet behind the scenes. And there will be opportunities coming up. So people need to stay tuned, because there's going to be some opportunities for public comment on the Clean Air and Clean Water Act processes, and also on the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission process. So stay tuned. Unless this project, they finally wise up and pull their permits, like they should do, we'll be having to comment. So we really need people's help then. And we'll
That's what stopped Big Brown, the biggest polluter in the United States. It was grassroots people, communities who came together and raised their collective voices. And that's the power that we have. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. Tammy Dean engineered for us today. Thanks, Tammy. Garrett Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.